I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so true confessions. I don't want to preach this sermon to you. I tried really hard to come up with another way to preach this text, and it just kept not working, And so fine, for some reason, God wants you all to hear this thing today. And this thing, there's an image that I'm going to use in this sermon that I've used at several other places in the parish the last couple of years. So if you've seen it before, I don't know. Maybe it's for you. I'll tell you, at least one person in the room that it's for is me. So at the very least, I'm going to get this sermon and it'll be glorious. Okay, so today is a day that we sort of talk about unofficially as Good Shepherd Sunday. It is the day where all of the readings talk about Jesus's role as the Good Shepherd, and you get the metaphors of shepherding, and we get the collect about this is like the kind of way that we're invited to see God. And so the reason that it matters is because shepherds in the Bible, particularly in the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament, are leaders. The shepherd is like the paradigm of kingship. So when you see words or stories about shepherd, it's about leadership. It's about the way that God is in charge. And so Israel spoke of its leaders like they were shepherds. And of course, when Jesus sets himself up as a good shepherd, it kind of indicates there might be some bad ones out there. So there's a little bit of conflict in the mix. But one of the things that you see over and over again with the shepherd stuff, especially with the witness of the church to God's role in this way, is that there is always a reversal when it comes to the way God becomes king, the way that God rules. God's ruling looks different than we think it does. It kind of defies conventional wisdom. There are always kind of, you think it's going to zig and it zags. The first place you see that in our elections today is in Revelation. Revelation's a whole other bag of tricks. It's a mystical vision. It's apocalyptic literature. We don't got time to go there. I tried to go there and couldn't. But one of the things that you find over and over again in that Revelation text are these sort of flip of the scripts. So in that, the shepherd is also the lamb, Revelation says. And that lamb is the lamb that was actually also slain. So like there's, wait, that's not how it works. The shepherd is not the lamb. Well, apparently it is, right? And this God in particular is the God that doesn't rule from on high from with divine power and lightning bolts. This is the God that comes and wipes the tears from our eyes because this God loves you. Right? So there's an intimacy, there's a compassion. This God somehow becomes, demonstrates this God's authority in empathy and compassion, and in losing, this God is victorious. Which is why when you pick up Jesus in the Gospels today, it's super obvious then why these other people of his tribe can't figure out what he's talking about when he talks about the way that he is advancing God's healing of the world, the way he's becoming king. They're at the temple at a particular festival. The lectionary that in the Bible reading talks about it as the Feast of the Dedication. Does anybody know what Jewish feast that is? It's Hanukkah. That's right. That is the Feast of the Dedication. And it's called the Feast of the Dedication because what Hanukkah commemorates is when the Maccabees came in and by violent force drove out the Syrians that had desecrated their temple as a way to control them by taking away their religion. And so they drove them not just out of the temple, but out of their lands and took back their property and their temple and established Judas Maccabeus as kind of the ruling family for about a century, really, until the Romans showed up. So the Feast of Dedication, everybody's thinking the whole time about how people become king, about the way in which people are in charge. And so when Jesus starts talking about shepherd imagery, they know what he means. It's a pretty thinly veiled allusion. He's talking about being in charge, but he won't say it explicitly, right? And he keeps telling them over and over again, the way that I'm going to be shepherd is different than the way you're used to. Which is why at the end of that story, where our lectionary conveniently cuts it out, they actually try to stone him for this. When he talks about that, they don't like what he's saying. because they can't conceive that there would be another way to become king. They're like, what do you mean you're not going to follow the Maccabean route? What do you mean you're not going to use violence? What do you mean you can't use the political systems of our day and just flip them in our favor, and then we can really make the righteousness of God happen? You mean God's kingdom is going to come a different way? Over and over again, Jesus says yes. Over and over again, it is resisted, because there is reversal when it comes to the good shepherd. The way the shepherd works is not like we always think he's going to. Are you following me on the reversals? Now, what then could that mean for people like us? 2018, 2019, what year is it? Is it 2019? I can't tell. It's immaterial. These are timeless truths, everyone. And this is where I think it starts to land for someone like me. Guess what our psalm for today is? There's only one psalm it could be. What's the psalm for today? It's the 23rd Psalm. Come on. Like, what other psalm is there? Because the 23rd Psalm, we don't even need to read it, do we? The Lord is my... Oh, come on. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along right paths for his name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd. I mean, we're talking about some serious shepherd imagery there, right? And one of the compelling things that we can forget sometimes about these texts is that they're anchored in pretty particular geography. The shepherds in Jesus' day, and in the time when the Psalms came about, they're taking their sheep out in a particular region called the Judean wilderness. And it wasn't like sand dunes. The Judean wilderness actually looks a lot like Arizona or New Mexico, parts of Utah. Rocky, craggy, really tough, scruffy trees. The ground is hot because it's desert climate. It's arid, so it's baked really, really hard, which means that when it rains in this region, the rain does not soak into the soil. When the water hits that hard, baked ground, it runs off. And so what you have cutting through the landscape are all of these wadis, where the water, when it rains, rushes into these wadis and fills them. They become rivers for moments. If you've ever been out into the American Southwest, you've seen this. My family and I went hiking in some slot canyons back in December, and there were times they said, we really need to watch the weather before we'll take you in there, because if it's raining somewhere, anywhere within 10 miles of this place, that canyon we're in will fill with water in minutes, and we won't be there anymore. And so we said, well, yeah, let's definitely pull up the weather underground and make sure we're okay before we go in there. Same was true in the ancient Near East. You could have a storm 10 miles away, and within minutes, there would be a tidal wave of water coming down these wadis. There are actually accounts of some tidal waves that are 15, 20 feet high coming down these things, which means that if you're a shepherd and you have sheep and you're taking them in and out of these wadis, you are paying attention to what's going on, because water could kill you. Water could get you. That water is out there, and if you're not paying attention to where it's falling and moving, it could take you and your sheep out. So one of the roles of the shepherd, of course, was sort of being aware and protecting, right? But the psalm doesn't talk about that kind of water, does it? What kind of water does the psalm talk about? The still waters. And the still waters, now that's something you want to know about, because still waters you can drink from. Still waters you can be refreshed by. You don't have to be worried about the still water. The still water is where there's peace, there's sustenance. Your soul could be revived by some still waters. And so if there was a shepherd who knew where that was, that would be valuable. That would be a shepherd worth following, would it not? And so the psalm's imagery kind of works like this. It's like there is waters that are turbulent and that shake and that move. And then over here, there is the still water, right? So there's water here that's troubling, bubbling, going to slosh out of the cup. I'm going to get Malcolm with it. Malcolm is actually flinching right now. He's like, I don't trust him. You're right not to trust me. I don't know how this is going to go. There was no one sitting there at 7:45, so we'll see. But what the promise is even though sometimes the water's like this, that there is a shepherd that knows how to find this, that knows where the still water is. And what's profound about that for me is that often our lives feel like this, don't they? They're turbulent, we're worried, we're anxious, so much so that like maybe it's even spilling over, right? And what the promise of the psalm is even though your life might feel like this, there is a shepherd who knows how to get you to this. The shepherd knows where the still water is. No matter what's going on, whatever this is for you, whatever anxiety you've got, worry, fear, whatever it is, the shepherd can lead you to the still water. Knows exactly where it is. You don't have to worry about it. The shepherd knows where it is. And what our temptation, though, is, of course, is when our life gets like this and we're feeling all this sort of turmoil and tension and fear and anxiety and worry, stress, and we're waking up grinding our teeth at night, what we want to do is depend on our resources to solve that problem, okay? So if I just work harder and perform better at my job, I'll find the still water, right? If I can just get my children to do this way, then I'll find the still water. If I just get that job, if I could get that corner office, that career path, then I'll find the still waters. If I just can get the grades that I'm expected to get, I'll find the still waters, right? If I can get into the right college, if I can find the right peer group, whatever it is, we all have our thing that we do, don't we? We try to find our own path to the still water. And that's not how the psalm invites you to consider it. The psalm says, no, 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 no. You can't find the still water on your own. The shepherd has to lead you. You are led to the still water. You are led to it. You can't go find it on your own. It's like the reversal of the 23rd Psalm is the way you find the still water is you stop trying to find the still water. And you pay attention to the way that the shepherd is leading you to it. You can't find it on your own. You have to be led. That is why the gospel is about grace. You can't earn the still water. You don't have to. It's not achievable. It's not winnable. It is not contingent on circumstances. It is a peace and a serenity that is beyond understanding. Jesus talks about it as eternal life, and it is available right now for everybody. Is there somebody here that needs to know where some still water is in their life? Is there somebody that feels like this, walking in the door, I don't know what you're dragging in here, and you are like, oh my gosh, could there really be a shepherd that shows me where the still water is? The answer is yes. So I want to give you a prayer. This is interesting to you if you want to pursue this path. Here's the prayer. It starts with this. 5 deep breaths. Let me take 5 deep breaths. See how much time this is taking? It can't be 2 deep breaths because 2 deep breaths, you can get them done real fast. 5 is disruptive. 5 starts to irritate the way that you're anxious. 5 inserts itself into your taskmasterness. So you take the 5 deep breaths to center, to be open. And then the prayer is this. From that place, say, lead me to the still waters. Lead me to the still waters. That's the prayer. It's kind of, maybe it's even a little corny and goofy, but it is a prayer that is saying, I'm open to being led to this place. This is where I want to get. This is where the life and the peace is. When I feel like this, there is a shepherd, that can get me, that knows exactly where this is. So may you open yourself up and trust yourself to the shepherd that knows exactly where the still water is. And when you find it, drink deeply, and may you know peace. Amen.